the phone with the incomparable Craig Stewart, who has written a memoir, Words Never Spoken, that I cannot put down. I'm really mad right now, being the English major that I am, that I can't read any faster than I have. I'm halfway through this book, and
wow.
there's nothing else for me to do right now but read it.
Wow. You humble me with those words, I tell you.
It is so awesome. First of all, how are you doing today, sir?
I am absolutely amazing. Like, I'm busy, but it's amazing. It feels good to be doing, you know, what I love and for this whole thing to be coming to fruition. It just seems like just the other day I was sitting across from you doing a podcast and we were talking about the book, and here it is.
Yes, here we are, only months later. First of all, I have to just commend you on being so focused and having, like, speed of light movement. And, like, just the tenacity and focus that you had to get your project completed and done and out to the people, like,
yeah.
It's just amazing.
It has been amazing. And that thing, I just kind of look back and I'm like, wow, I can reach back 3 months and I was still living in L.A. I was still writing the book. I was plotting, planning, and wondering how this whole thing would take off and how I would get the word out about the book. And it just speaks to universal law. It's like when you put in the work and do whatever you're supposed to do, your due diligence, the universe will respond. And the universe has responded. Like, the way that people have found out about this book, I mean, it's mind-blowing. Like, I could not have planned any of this. I couldn't have planned it.
For listeners who are not hip to the book, oh my God, first of all, you need to get hip. And I will have all the links underneath this post where you can purchase the book and have it on your doorstep in 48 hours. This is Craig's memoir where he takes us through his journey of being a gay black man in Atlanta and his college experiences, and then his move, where this is the part that I'm into, his move from Virginia to Atlanta and his introduction to the gay scene there and the experiences that he had, both personally and professionally. And I have to say, as a reader, I don't know the last time I've come across a work that was just so honest and
wow.
So candid and so raw.
Right.
We're getting it all in this story, people. We're getting it all. And what I really like about it is that, one, Craig is not sugarcoating any of this for us. We're getting the truth of an experience of a young man and his discovery of his sexuality and the sort of people who he interacts with and meets with and befriends, but also the having to face sexuality at a time when HIV was in everybody's face and trying to kind of grapple with the fact that this is who I am in this world. But part of me being who I am is also having to deal with this. And how do I deal with it? Can you speak to that a little bit?
You know, this book, Words Never Spoken, it's truly 13 years of living and learning in Atlanta, starting in 1998. You know, I moved to Atlanta 2 days after I graduated college. And so when I moved to L.A., it really was because I was feeling unfulfilled after living in Atlanta for 13 years. I moved to Atlanta specifically to write music. That was all I thought I wanted to do. And it shifted from writing music to writing a stage play. And that stage play was the result of a relationship that I had with the guy. This is the first relationship that I actually had. And he found out he was HIV positive 2 days after we met. So the play was born 3 years after that relationship, but it was residual effects of the relationship. But in the interim, I started writing greeting cards. I have a greeting card company called Say It in the Card. So I was doing all of these things. I was writing music. I was writing stage plays. I founded Say It in the Card and was writing wedding vows, and the greeting cards were in 7 stores. But then when the economy turned a couple years ago, all of the stores that carried the greeting cards went under. And so subsequently the business went under. And then I flipped into a depression. So in the midst of all of that, I came to terms with my sexuality. So the backdrop is the story of this gay black man living in Atlanta. But the story is also, it's for the dreamer. It's for anyone who's ever had a vision and wanted to do something, whether it was going back to school or starting a business or following that passion. It's really the ups and the downs and the meandering road that you take when you're trying to follow a dream. Mm-hmm. So it's all of those things. But when I moved to L.A., it was because I started feeling unfulfilled. My car had been repossessed. I could not pay the bills month to month. So it was really instinctive that I moved to L.A. I got a tugging in my spirit. It was like God was telling me that it's time for you to leave Atlanta. So I moved to L.A., and 3 months after I was in L.A., this book was born. I started writing this book, and it just poured out of me. It happened organically because I'd never even planned on writing a book, and this happened. And so I think that's the response. I think that's why people are getting the idea that this book is so real and it's so honest, because it's been years that the story was just kind of sitting in me, sitting inside of me, you know what I mean? So That's the discipline that you saw. It was like I wrote the book in 9 months.
Right.
So
we're getting it's the truth.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I really wanted to call it this story of, I wanted to give voice to a community of people who has been muddled, who really has no voice. I think that there's a community of people that have been waiting for another story. You know, of course, we lost Elin Harris a few years ago, and there hasn't been anyone that's really kind of stepped up to the plate and really filled that void. And I think that that's what this book has become. I didn't set out to do that, but that's part of what I've been hearing from people. They're like, oh, my God, like, I cannot put this book down. Like, I've gotten emails from people that I don't know. It's just been absolutely unbelievable. Like, I started the book tour in Atlanta. I did 3 signings in Atlanta, sold out the books every time that I did it. I'm currently in Maryland, just did one in Baltimore. This past weekend, sold out the books again. This Tuesday, June 26th, I'll be in D.C. at Bohemian Caverns doing the book signing at 7 o'clock. I just got off the phone with Humon Bookstore in Harlem, New York. We're looking at a date in July. It hasn't been solidified yet, but that information will be available soon. So, I mean, it's just been crazy. Like, I can't even believe. I mean, I just can't even believe it.
Yeah. I'm really not surprised. you might not be able to believe it, but I completely believe it.
Okay.
I think what really gets me about this book too, so often we are kind of brainwashed by mainstream in regard to the sort of stereotypes that come up about different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
Black gay men being one of those stereotypes. We often get the idea of, you know, if he's a black gay man, one, he has to be hella just either extremely flamboyant or closeted and on the low down, and not monogamous, like as polyamorous and polygamous as possible. You know, and you often hear people say, well, you know, gay men don't believe in monogamy. They kind of ruled that out. And the one thing that strikes me as interesting is that your story speaks to that of a man who is very protective of himself when it comes to sex. It's not about the quick and easy, you know, get down, although you might find yourself interacting with people who do operate that way. You are somebody who is very protective of self and very concerned about health and thinks, you know, a lot about situations and the people who you're dealing with before you decide to become intimate. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. I had my own ideas of what I thought gay life was before I came into this thing, and that's how the book pretty much opens up. I think those who identify as LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, come into it with this idea of what it looks like before you actually experience it. It's no different than white people who've never interacted with a black group. You have this idea of what to expect before you actually have the experience. So for me, I thought gay life was about sex all the time. I thought it was about menage a trois. I thought it was about HIV. I thought it was all of those things. I thought it was about sheer flamboyance all the time, 24/7. I didn't realize that there are so many different personalities and that all of those things were stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And so once I got the initial experiences, I realized that I could be who I was. But I think because there is no roadmap, there's a period of time that I write about in the book where I got so comfortable that I did become okay with casual sex from time to time. But that's no different than, because I have a balance of straight friends and gay friends, it's no different than some of my straight friends that did some of the same things. But for me, this book was about unlocking some of the answers to why some of my behavior was the way that it was. And it was years of suppression. You know, I talk about when I was at Hampton and how I was taking showers at the dormitory, but on my way into the shower or leaving the shower, I was taking peeks at the other guy showering because I was suppressing all of these feelings of being with another man. So the closest that I could come to that would be to kind of lurk in the shower, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different than, like, today where you hear, like, these senators who are coming through the airports around the country or they're in public parks having sex with strangers. It's because they've suppressed these feelings for so long. They're living these heterosexual lives. They may have families and children and wives, but they don't move in gay circles. They don't have gay friends. They don't go to gay parties. They don't go to gay clubs. They've never had a gay relationship, but they crave the sex. And so they're looking for the sex wherever they can get it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that same kind of thing, you know. But I wanted to open up this conversation. I wanted to have a discussion throughout the African-American community about sexuality and HIV. And I think that our refusal to discuss sexuality in an honest way is part of the reason why HIV is spreading throughout our communities. Of course, you have the church who wants to blame all gay men for HIV, and then you have a crop of women, black women, not all, but just a crop of black women who believe bisexual men are responsible for HIV, and that couldn't be further from the case. You know, the bottom line is most women are infected with HIV because they've convinced themselves, and the media has done a good job of convincing them, that if they can rule out the fact that the man that they're having sex with is not bisexual, that they're in the clear, and that isn't the case. And so I wanted this book to speak to that as well. But again, I want people to see the humanity in the story because it's not just about my coming out story and how my family reacted, and it's not just the first time that I went on the date and what I was thinking and what I was feeling. It's not just the first time that I had a sexual encounter. It is also my journey as a writer and the depression that came because of setbacks and I started having these feelings and thoughts that I was on the wrong career path because things weren't unfolding as fast as I wanted them to. This book is also about conversations that I had with Tyler Perry after he came to my stage play, A Day in the Life, in Atlanta. Even though he raved about the show and called the show brilliant, why he refused to help me tour the show. It's also about Brandi Norwood, my professional relationship with her, writing the music with her. You know, so it's all of those things. This book is truly for the visionary. It is truly for the dreamer. It is truly for the parent who has just discovered that his or her child is gay and they're struggling with whether or not they can continue living or loving them. You know, mm-hmm. So it's all of those things. It's for the person who identifies as gay and he's struggling or she's struggling to come to terms with it. It's for the person who's struggling to reconcile his sexual desires, with his religious beliefs. So this book is really for humanity.